Otherwise, keep your Bibles open to Colossians chapter 3. That'd be great. And if there's questions along the way, make sure you write them down. Well, let me start off with a little bit of a quiz. I'll ask you to put your hands up at the end if you know the answer to these. Where these quotes come from? I'll read out the quotes, see if you can work out where the source of those quotes is from. Commander of the armies of the north. General of the Felix legions. Loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius. Father to a murdered son. Husband to a murdered wife. And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next. Hands up if you know where it's from. Yell it out. Gladiator. Apparently, according to one of the YouTube clips, it's one of the greatest movie scenes ever, where Russell Crowe stands up and he says who he really is. He is Maximus, the commander, the father, the husband. Okay, how about this one? For those who don't like the violence of Gladiator, who am I? My soul belongs to God, I know. I made that bargain long ago. He gave me hope when hope was gone. He gave me strength to journey on. Who am I? Who am I? I am Jean Valjean. Where's that from? Not as confident with that one, are we? From Les Mis. Now, in both of those movies, although Les Mis is more a musical than a movie, in both of them, the hero of the story has to work out that question. Who am I? Who am I? On the one hand, for Russell Crowe in Gladiator, is he just a slave? Is he just a gladiator who's lost everything and has no hope? Is that who he is? In Les Mis, Jean Valjean has to work out that question as well. Is he the mayor? Is he a man of good repute? Is that the life he should live, even if it is just a lie? In both of those scenes, it's the high point. It's the climax of sorts. As they work out and decide the answer to that question, who am I? And actually, the way that they answer that question, it actually shapes the rest of where they head, the direction for the rest of their life. It's one of those crucial questions, one of those critical questions that we need to work out, that people sometimes spend the rest of their lives trying to figure this out. We all need to work out at some stage, who am I? And I take it that that's probably why personality tests are so popular. They're a bit of good fun, and at the same time, they tap into a bigger question. Who are we? What makes us tick? What do we really like? One of the popular ones is Myers-Briggs. Put your hand up if you've done that before. Keep your hand up if you know what you are. Though I won't get you to yell it out. Now, Myers-Briggs, it separates you into 16 categories of people. And so if you are an ISTJ, which is apparently the most popular personality type, so you're not alone. If you're an ISTJ, you like everything to be organized and orderly. You like to have a procedure for everything. In social situations, you might be the sort of person who likes to do something useful. So yeah, you might be at a party and you're the person making sure that all the hats and the shoes and the bags are all in the right place, because you find it easier to be in charge of something than to actually talk to people and to talk to new people. Here are some famous ISTJs. George Washington. George Bush. I assume it's senior. I'm not sure. Hermione Granger. And the Queen. So you're in pretty good company if you're ISTJ. On the other hand, if you are ENTP, you are the visionary. You like to challenge things. Sometimes you like to challenge things, not because it's strategic, not because it's going to be better, just because you like to. And it's kind of fun. So ENTPs love to brainstorm and to find new ways of doing things. And while they like to think big, they don't like to do the grunt work, because that's kind of boring and tedious. Now, ENTPs, they like to shake things up and debate things. And because of that, they sometimes burn bridges without realizing it. Some famous ENTPs include Steve Jobs, Tom Hanks, and the Joker. That question, who am I? Here in Colossians chapter 3, we actually get a sense of who we are if we believe in Jesus. Paul actually tells us, God tells us, what is our identity? And so as we wrestle with that huge question, Why don't we pray and ask for God to help us during this time? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for the privilege that it is for us to be working our way through Colossians and this morning to be looking at Colossians chapter 3. Father, help us to have eyes afresh to see these great truths that are written here about ourselves and what, Lord, that should mean in terms of the way that we live. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's a question that we're wrestling with this morning. In your bulletins, hopefully you've got an outline there. Keep your Bibles open. That question of, who am I? And we're going to be looking at three things in Colossians chapter 3. The first one is there in verses 1 to 4. Paul wants us to see that we have a new identity. We have a new identity. Let me read out verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, this passage talks about the resurrection, the fact that Jesus was raised to life. And sometimes we think of the resurrection as being some fact which took place, but it was a long time ago. And we talk about the resurrection, how it proves who Jesus is, but it doesn't really have much to do with us in the here and now. But Colossians 3 says the resurrection is immensely practical. It makes a big difference because Jesus' life and direction and our life and direction, those two things are tied together. They're inseparable. It's amazing how active Eva was, even before she was born. Eva's our youngest. Even before she was born, she went on holidays to Cairns. She went on holidays to the Blue Mountains, even before she came into this world. Even before she was born, she went to the aquarium. She went to the Powerhouse Museum. She went to a few weddings. I believe she went to Dan and Vicky's wedding. Even before she'd come out. Now, of course, she wasn't there running around. She didn't make it her own way to get there, but she was there with Dawn. It's actually part of the job description of being a baby inside the womb, that where the mother goes, the baby goes. What the mother does, the baby does. And that's what happens with us in Jesus. We are with him. And so chapter 3, verse 1, you have been raised with Christ. You've been raised with Jesus. Same thing in verse 3. You died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So if you're a Christian here this morning, what happened to Jesus happens to you. What is true of Jesus is true of you, just like the mum and the baby. You have a new identity. You are with Christ, in Christ. And that's what the Colossians needed to know. We've been working our way through the book. Paul says to them, you don't have to go chasing false philosophies. You don't have to chase false teaching as if you're missing out somehow. No, you've been given everything in Christ. This is who you are. And so in verse 3, Paul says, you died because you died with Christ. Your sinful nature, the selfish me that used to follow the ways of this world, it's dead. It's died with Christ. That's not my life anymore. And instead, my life is now hidden with Christ. My real life is Jesus. I'm alive in him, and it's in heaven. Remember, where the mum is, the baby is. Even now, I'm alive to God in heaven. In a very real way, I am there in the presence of God, in the throne room of God. And when you look around the room, sometimes it's hard to see that. You look at the person next to you, maybe the person you came to church with, they look on the outside very ordinary. And I feel the same. I look at my photos from when I was younger. The hair's going grey. There's a few more wrinkles. The muscles aren't quite where they were, if they ever were there before. But I look completely ordinary from the outside. But my life, what I'm really like in Jesus. Well, actually, that's hidden away. But then in verse 4, when Jesus comes, who is your life? When he appears, then we'll appear with him in glory. See, right now, there is a mismatch between what we're like on the outside and who we are in Jesus. Those two things don't fully match up yet. But one day, that mismatch is going to disappear. It is going to be gone. For the moment, though, until that day, what I'm really like is hidden from the eyes of the world. It's hidden from those who only look at the outside. What we really are, I suspect, though, is often hidden even from us. And so Paul says in verse 2, he says, set your hearts, set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He says, remember who you are. Remember where you are. You are in Jesus. And you see where you're heading. Your life is not here. Your life is in heaven. That is where we are headed, and it's already started. I remember before I went to Bible college, I used to work in the city, and for a couple of days, my workplace sent me over to Adelaide for a couple of days to work. And so I was there in a hotel in Adelaide, and while I'm sitting in the hotel, I never thought for a moment that I should go out and buy furniture. I should buy a wardrobe to put my clothes into. I don't think for a moment that, hey, I should buy a fridge, you know, so I can put some food in there for the couple of days. I don't think that way. Because in Adelaide, I was just visiting. It's not my home. My life is back here in Sydney. That's where my heart is. That's what I'm thinking about. It's life here. My roots are somewhere else. My home is somewhere else. God says to us here, our home is somewhere else. But it's not in Roseville or Pymble or Chatswood or Sydney. Our home is heaven. And so set your hearts there. Set your minds, set your focus, set your passion on heaven, on things above, where home is. Do you see what Paul is saying here about our identity? It's our past, present, and future. Our past is you died and you've been raised. Our present is that your life is now hidden with Christ. Your future is you will appear with him in glory. Our past, present, and future, our entire identity is tied up in Jesus. And so live that out. Let that just simmer and wash over us to know this is who we are in Jesus. And live that out. That's going to mean a couple of things. Get rid of the old life. That's the starting point in verse 5. Let me read verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death sexual sin. Those temptations that lead us the wrong way. When we lust after somebody who's not our husband or wife. Those computer sites that we visit when we're by ourselves. Our thoughts, our actions. Put to death greed. Wanting more. Chasing more. Storing up for ourselves. And I think in our day and age, greed is the respectable sin that we all sort of dabble in. But do you see what Paul says about it? It's idolatry. It's worshipping another god. How we treat others. In verse 8, get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. And do you see how Paul phrases it? Get rid of it. Put it to death, he says in verse 5. It's not something that you play with, that you see how close you can get without getting into trouble. How close I can get before I burn myself. Paul doesn't say it. He says, kill it, murder it, execute it. Is that how we see the old way of life? Put it to death. Because did you see how it's actually tied up with who we are? In verse 3, you have died, and so put these things to death. That was your old way of life, and that's dead now. So put it to death, those after effects. Or in verse 9, you've taken off your old self and have put on the new self. This is not who you are anymore. Get rid of that old way of life. If I was to ask you, what's still that part of the old life which you're dabbling in? Is it for you? Is it greed? Is it gossip, talking about somebody behind their backs? Is it the way that you speak? Is it anger? Is it lust? Whatever it is, kill it. Because Christ is your life. Why would you want to live the old way? It's not who we are. Get rid of the old life and put on the new one. Put on the new self. If you understand verses 12 to 17, it's actually quite an amazing section. Because if we understand what Paul is saying here, you might not be some of those things. I suspect there's a lot of things that we're actually not. You might be somebody who does not find it easy to be compassionate or kind. You find it hard to be humble or to be patient or to forgive someone. And Paul says to us, God says to us, actually those things you can. You can do these things. That's why we're commanded to do them. Clothe yourselves, he says. Put these things on every day. When you wake up in the morning and you put your clothes on, make sure you put on this new self. Clothe yourself with these virtues because it's who you are, this new identity. You have this new self that is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. As we grow in knowing Jesus, as we grow in knowing him, we grow to be like him. And so, be someone who loves. Because God loves you. God loves you in Christ. And so we are to show that same love to the people around us. Bear with each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Whatever the other person has done against you, it is far, far less a crime than what we have done against God. Verse 17 is a great summary. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a great summary, isn't it? Isn't that a great slogan for us to be living our lives by? Because of what Christ has done. Because of who you are, in every area of your life, whatever it is, do that for Jesus. Live for Jesus. Give him thanks for what he's given us. Before we get to our last point, I think it's just worth us to take a step back. There's this list of different things, the old self and the new self. I think it's worthwhile for us to be thinking, just look through those lists. Maybe something that's been said already. What's one thing in both lists you need to work on? What's one part of your old life that you need to put to death, that you need to kill it? Down the bottom, the right-hand corner of your bulletins, there's this little box. You might want to write something down. What's part of the old life that actually, if anything, I've got to do that one? By the same token, what's part of the new life? What's one of those virtues you need to put on? What do you need to clothe yourself in? See if you can think of one thing, old life to put to death, new life to put on. And if you're struggling, I think it'd be a very interesting exercise to ask the person that you came to church with, what's one thing I need to put to death? Or one thing that I need to put on? Now, if you've got the courage, why don't you open yourself up and ask the person you came to church with, what do you think? See where that goes. Peter Evans wrote a biography about the famous actor Peter Sellers. Peter Sellers was the inspector from the Pink Panther movies. If you've watched them, he's in all sorts of other roles as well. The biography was called The Mask Behind the Mask. And in the biography, the person made the point, Peter Sellers played so many different roles that even he didn't know who he was anymore. He played so many different characters that they all sort of rubbed off on him. They all left their mark, so that in some ways, even he wasn't sure, who am I? Who is the real Peter Sellers? One time, Peter Sellers was approached by a fan who thought that he recognized him, and so he went up to Peter Sellers and he asked him, are you Peter Sellers? Now, maybe Peter was in a bad mood, but he gave a quick answer. He said, not today. And he walked off. Now, I think sometimes we can do that as Christians. Catch me in the middle of a crazy work day and ask me, are you a Christian? And the answer is, not today. I've just got too much to do at the moment to be patient. I've got too many things that I'm trying to juggle to be a loving husband. I'm too busy to actually read the Bible with my kids. Not today. Or I'm on the computer by myself. Or I'm working out how to spend my money. Do I go to church? Do I go to small group? Are you a Christian? Not today. Not today. If you're somebody here today and you've been looking into who this Jesus person is, we love the fact that you're here. Keep coming, keep trying to work out those questions. It's great to ask those questions to keep wrestling with who Jesus is. But if you're here and you are a Christian, don't say not today. Get rid of the old life and put the new life on. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Because that actually can sound a little bit daunting when you look at those lists. Let me just give you a few tips. It starts off with praying, doesn't it? It's got to start with praying. Let me just give you a little prayer. There's nothing magical in these words, but let me just throw out a little prayer that I think would be great for us. If we say something like this to God, Lord, you know what I'm struggling with. Rip it out of my heart. Whatever it is, help me to kill it. And help me to be like Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great thing to pray every day if we meant it? It starts with praying. We pray, we read the Bible. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, it says in verse 16. If you're not spending time in God's word, how do you expect to grow? That's why we're reading through Explore, so that we can read the Bible. That's why we come to church. That's why we have small groups. If you want to be part of a small group, let me know. Send me an email. So that we can get together and to read the Bible. Because do you see what it says there? We teach and admonish each other. It's not just what you do by yourself. Come to church for your sake, but for my sake as well. Teach and admonish each other. But here's the last point to finish up on. How are we going to do this? Know who you are. Know who you are. The power to change doesn't come from you, does it? It doesn't come from you. It comes from who you already are in Jesus. We are in Christ. We died with Christ. We're dead to sin. Sin is not our master anymore. Sin doesn't have control over us. And we've been raised with Jesus. That same power that raised Jesus to life is what's at work in us who believe in him. Who are you this morning? If you have put your trust in Jesus, you are forgiven. You are loved. You are cherished, accepted. You are safe. You are in Christ Jesus forever and in his kingdom. And so get rid of the old life and put on the new life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you great thanks for these truths that we see here in Colossians chapter 3. We thank you for who you have made us to be in Jesus, for this new identity, this new life that we have been blessed with, that we are with Christ in Christ. And we pray, Lord, that that truth flows out into our lives. Give us strength, Lord. Give us honesty to put to death that which belongs to our old self and to put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Help us, Lord, to be like Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.